Amen. Tonight, Brother Sam's going to preach to us. I appreciate him. I know this is Pastor's Appreciation Month, week, whatever, this Sunday, but I do want to appreciate the ministry in our church. He works a full-time job. He's got two kids that are full of energy. He's got a wife that's just went through surgery, and all the stuff that he goes through, he's got his Bible in his hand. He studied. He's not going to get up here and give you something that he hasn't studied and searched. You know that for a fact. And I appreciate the time and the dedication and his relationship with God. We're very particular about who we let preach. We really are. And we trust him. We believe his relationship with God is real. And how many people's going to help him preach? Amen. Come on, Brother Sam.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. He's too kind. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. It's good to see everybody out on a Wednesday night. I am loving this weather. I was talking to Brother Tim Hart last week, and he said, man, it's so beautiful outside, and I'm loving this weather. And I said, it's a little warm for me yet. I said, I need it in the 60s. And he said, give it a couple years. You'll want it in the 70s. Amen. Joshua chapter 7, if you got your Bibles, this thing's going to go wacky on me. There we go. Joshua chapter 7. I want to say that I greatly appreciate our praise team, our musicians, singers, those who testified. The very first song that was sang, the presence of the Lord was in this place. What an awesome presence. What a sweet presence of the Lord in this place tonight. Joshua chapter 7. Starting out at verse number 1. Sorry, Shane, I didn't give you this. Joshua chapter 7, verse 1. But the children of Israel committed the trespass and the accursed thing for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai. And let me stop right here for just a moment. I know it's probably IE, but I'm a hillbilly from West Virginia, and all my life it's been Ai, so it's going to continue to be Ai. So he sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua, and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from the gate of Hardward, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted, and they became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until eventide. And he and the elders of Israel put dust upon their heads. Father, we thank you so much for your word. God, I thank you for your spirit. I thank you, Lord, because we can trust in you. I thank you for a faithful Father. I thank you, Lord, because you pursue us. I thank you, Lord, because we can trust in your character, God. Lord, I pray that you would help us to hear your word. Lord, to be doers of it. Help it to take root in our lives and in our heart, Lord. Help us to leave differently than we came. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. At the death of Moses, we see how quickly things begin to transpire in this young leader's life. Undoubtedly, it was a whirlwind of happening. God began to speak to this freshly appointed leader of a nation concerning the supernatural strength and courage that would continue to be poured out upon him. Joshua chapter 1 begins with an assurance from God. In verse number 5, he says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Three times in the first chapter, we hear the command from God and from the elders to Joshua. As the elders would reiterate what God had already spoken unto him, Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Don't turn to the left and don't turn to the right. Joshua was assured that no matter how monumental the task at hand, that nothing and no one would be able to stand between where he was and the completed purpose of God in his life. The first task at hand would be to get the nation of Israel across the raging river Jordan. God said unto Joshua, this is Joshua chapter 3, the Lord said unto Joshua, this day I will magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. So Joshua's first task is to, they come to a raging river where Joshua doesn't have the civil engineers to build a platform to get across it. The first place that Joshua comes, as God would lead him in the conquest of Canaan, he comes to a place, Jeremy, where his skill set is useless. Where his power in and of himself, Zach, is of no really use at all, because he's came to a situation that's much larger than he is and that boasts strength and power that Joshua just has nothing at all to come against. He doesn't have time. There's not even steel mills. He doesn't have time. He doesn't have lumberjacks to go out and cut him some beams down and hew him and make him a bridge across the River Jordan. But God gets him first and quickly to a place where he has to rely on him. Met with a raging river that boasted itself against the purpose of God, Joshua sees supernatural results. While in the midst of this, a little side note here, while in the midst of the river, God commands Joshua to tell the priest, to tell the 12 tribes of Israel to go into the river, gather stones, pile them up in the middle of the river, gather 12 more stones and pile them up on the banks of the river. And the reason he says this is, he says, when your children ask. See, God already knew the culture that he was building inside of his people. And this is a sidebar. This is a rabbit hole, but I'm going to go down it anyway because it's a good one. God was teaching his people to create a culture inside the family where it was okay for the kids to ask questions. Where it was okay, because he said, in case your children ask, he said, no, when your children ask you what these stones mean, you're going to tell them about the goodness of God. So we need to make sure, as parents and as Sunday school teachers and leaders, we need to make sure that we're creating an atmosphere in our classes, at our dinner tables, or wherever it is, that when our children ask questions. Sidebar, back to preaching. 10 times in the first 5 chapters, God speaks to Joshua, giving detailed instructions of how to navigate and overcome each trial. Twice, before the priests ever dipped their toes into the River Jordan, God speaks to Joshua. 8 times before they ever marched around the walls of Jericho, God speaks to Joshua. 2x through the captain of the Lord of hosts. God was setting a precedent in Joshua's life. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the voice of God. Obey the command. Walk in my ways. 10 times in the very first chapter, God speaks to Joshua. Why are we talking about voices? The voice of God. I'm glad you asked that question. Isn't the voice of God done, dead, and gone away with? Does God really speak to his voice? After all, how many times have you heard a booming voice from heaven that sounds like Morgan Freeman giving you detailed instructions to go through your day? Right? Why do we sing so often about the voice of God? Some of us wonder, what does that even mean? What does it mean? God's not still speaking through prophets and his apostles. We've got the word now to do this. But I would, if we could for just a moment, the law of first mention, or the let's just call it the law of first mention, tells us that what a thing does in first mention, that it most generally continues to perform that same task throughout Scripture. So in Genesis, the first mention of God speaking is found in Genesis chapter 3, and God said, "Let there be light." Now, you pair that with the God that we are introduced to in the lines of the Bible, God created and God moved and God spoke. So first mention would reason that God would continue to create, would continue to speak, and would continue to move. But if you go for a different line in the Bible of God speaking, then you would find that in Genesis 3 through 8, or chapter 3, verse 8, it says that God, the Spirit of God, walked in the cool of the day in the garden, and He spoke with Adam and Eve. So the first mention of God speaking with His voice, it shows us that He communes with man. So I think we can bear out through the entirety of Scripture that in first mention, God's voice is communing with mankind, and we would see throughout the entirety of Scripture that God continues time in and time again to speak to men and women. As we continue in Scripture to learn of the voice of God, we see as God gives instructions to Samuel at night, as God begins to call him. We see as it brings men to their faces in prayer. We see as the voice of God would call people to repentance. And in 1 Kings chapter 19, we see as Elijah hides in a cave, that the voice of God brings him to the mouth of that cave. And as the prophet comes to the mouth of the cave, we see that he sees lightnings, and he sees an earthquake, and there's fire. But at the end of all that, he says that God wasn't in the earthquake, and he wasn't in the fire, and he wasn't in the wind. But at the end of that, a still, small voice. The reason I want to talk to us tonight about the voice of God is because it is a still, small voice that we cannot lose. There are so many voices, Zach, in our life. So many voices, and they're not so still and small, Brother Frankie. I go to work, I've got a good job and a good boss, but I go to work and there's voices that require tasks to be done at my hand. I come home and there's responsibilities that lay solely upon my shoulders, and there's voices that remind me of the tasks at hand. I've got hobbies that I like to do, and there's voices in my life that bring me to a place where I can't hear nothing but saying it's time to go fishing, it's time to go hunting, it's you need to shoot your bow, you need to do all this stuff. But if I could I just get you to a place right now where you could shut your eyes for a moment and just hear all those voices? And could we acknowledge for just a minute all the tasks at hand? Most of us already know what's expected out of us tomorrow. Most of us already have an idea of our to-do list tomorrow. And we probably already have plans for the weekend. We've got kids that we've got to get to wrestling practice and football practice and baseball practice and dance practice and gymnastics practice. And there's so much going on throughout our day. Our society is so stretched thin that we lose sight of the still, small voice of God. And why we read the scripture that we started off with is because if you know your Bible, you know that when he says that they sent men from Jericho to Ai, but there's such a drastic difference of what happens at Jericho and what happens at Ai. Because at Jericho, they encounter walls that exalted themselves, that they had no method or no means to tear down or to come against. Again, God brought them to a city and told them to encamp around the city, march around the city. And he told them that their weapons were going to be instruments of praise. You're going to march around the wall and you're going to shout. And you're going to watch the walls crumble, and I'm going to fight your battle for you. I don't know what happens at Jericho that Joshua sends men to Ai 8 times. Ten times so far. From Joshua's anointing as leader of Israel until the taking of Jericho, 10 times God has spoken to Joshua and given him detailed instructions of how to proceed with the task at hand. So what happens at Jericho? Why is it any different from him to go from Jericho to Ai? Because Ai is a little thing. Because Ai is something that Joshua can handle by himself. He sends up some men and they go out and they spy it and they come back and the men tell Joshua, don't send everybody up there. The men tell Joshua, the spies tell Joshua, "It's everybody's tired, don't send them up there to fight this battle," because pride had begun to build up, I think. I don't know the reason why. I don't know why we go from Jericho to Ai and we go from winning a fortified city to a small little band of men whooping up on Israel. And the Bible says that their hearts melted with fear. But I do know how easy it is and how quickly it can happen when we lose track of the small voice. You see, I doubt very seriously that it was Morgan Freeman's voice speaking to Joshua at night. "Joshua, take the 12 stones, put them in the river." That's not how it happens. The great gas can conundrum of my life, I use it to tell the teenagers all the time when I'm talking about the voice of God. What's the voice of God? One thing that I use is one story from my life. An example is I was walking out the door one day leaving, and there was a gas can. I can still go back to my garage and see my truck sitting in the garage. That's how vivid this memory is. And as I walk around the truck, there's a red gas can sitting there full of gas. And the still small voice says, "Sam, put the gas can in the truck." And I think, why do I need gas? And why do I need the gas can? I got a full tank. So I get in the truck and I look, and surely the tank's full. I don't need a gas can. So I get in my little truck and I go on my merry little way, and I get out on Route 3 and there sits a man that I know out of gas. Ah, ding, get the gas can. It's not a booming. We're looking for fire, and we're looking for earthquakes, and we're looking for wind. But how often do we get away by ourselves in prayer? How often do we shut down our mind? How many of you in here, it's like months at a time before I turn my phone off. I never turn my phone off unless it dies, until it starts lagging. And I'll try to scroll, or I'll try to bring something up, or the screen will freeze up real weird. And I'm like, oh yeah, it's probably been a month since I turned my phone off. Let me reset this thing. Let me reboot it. How long has it been since we filtered through all the voices in our mind? And all the little things that pull and twist and punch and wrestle with our attention and wrestle with our heart and wrestle with our motives. How long has it been since we've had a hard reset and we say, God, how long has it been since I've heard that still small voice? Because how quickly we can get into trouble. Oh, how quickly we can go from glory to goofy if we are void the voice of God. I know it doesn't take long for me at all to get completely carnal in a situation, void the voice of God. I know it takes my blood pressure 0 seconds to rise when somebody brings an issue to me, it void the voice of God. But how often, church, do we find ourselves coming away and doing a hard reset and saying, God, I've got to hear your voice. Father, I want to hear more than it, more than football practice, more than my game system, more than my job, more than my talent, whatever it is in my life, God, I have got to hear your voice. It makes no sense to me how Joshua goes from Jericho to Ai. Oh, but it happens so quickly. They return to Joshua, tell him, let not all the people go up. Joshua sends the people, and they come back. They've killed 36 men. Joshua sends 3,000 men to Ai. They flee before the city. 36 men don't come home. 36 brothers don't come back home. There's loss in the kingdom because something's wrong. Well, what's wrong? As it turns out, during the taking of Jericho, seemingly unbeknownst to Joshua, Achan of the tribe of Judah had taken some Babylonian garments and some silver and some gold. After a very detailed prohibition against touching or taking anything from Jericho because it was accursed, Achan put his hands on the things of Jericho and brought them home to his family. Now, I don't know why Joshua missed it. I really wish, for the 36 men's sake and for Achan's family's sake, that Joshua would have been in touch with the Lord and God would have told Joshua, not yet, there's something in the camp that's got to be taken care of, but we don't have that. What we have is a leader, a God-given leader, who sends out men ill-advised, and we see what happens as 36 men come back, or 36 men come back in a box, or not at all. Due to Achan's sin, 36 brothers died. Israel's army was filled with fear. Joshua, their God-given leader, questions his calling by God, and God threatens to withdraw his presence. Achan's family is sentenced to death, all due to Achan taking what he wasn't supposed to take. Hebrews 12 and 15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fall of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, listen, and thereby many be defiled. See, Hebrews 12 and 15 is really messing with us because it's telling us that others' deliverance can be tied to our actions. What it's telling us, that many can be defiled if I'm not right. What it's telling us, Tommy, is that if I don't look diligently after myself and after my brothers and sisters in this place, that the lost souls outside lose out when we're not right. Sinners lose out when we don't have the voice of God. Families lose out when we don't hear from the voice of God. Achan's entire family was wiped off the face of the planet because Joshua's... I'm not going to get into that yet. Think about it for just a minute. Don't tell me actions don't matter. Don't tell me obedience doesn't matter. I love the atmosphere of our church. I love it, Pastor. I love that people can come in this room, in this church, and they can feel loved like they've never felt loved before. I really believe that we do that right. Pastor always tells them, if you're a visitor, somebody here is going to love you. And I believe that we get that right. But I know within myself, and I want to tell you right now that this one right here was pointed toward me, but I know that I've got brothers and sisters in here that needed to hear it as well, because I've got to hear the voice of God. Bar the church doors and shut down the lights if void the voice of God. I think it was A.W. Tozer that said that if the Holy Ghost withdrew himself from our churches, that 95% would continue as is and never notice. What about the early church? You take away the Holy Ghost from the early church and 98% of what they done would have never happened because they were relying on the moving of the Holy Ghost. They were relying on God doing things that they could not do in and of themselves. We're trying to build a building right now. We're trying to win a city right now. We're trying to win our loved ones right now. And we've got tasks and we've got goals that are much bigger than we are. But we can't lose the voice of God. Joshua chapter 7, verse 13, God tells Joshua, he says, up, sanctify them, sanctify the people. Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou cannot stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall bring, I'm going to paraphrase, I'm going to preach on down through this and paraphrase. So what happens is Joshua falls apart just as we do. Void the voice of God when we get ourselves into a mess. Joshua rent his clothes. He put dust on his head. He started mourning and he questioned the call of God on his life. God, why did you even bring us out here to die? I wish we could have just died back there instead of everybody taking pride in tearing us down on this side of Jordan. God, why did you bring us out here to fail? And God tells Joshua, he says, Joshua, get up. Sanctify yourselves. And he tells him, he says, there's an accursed thing in the camp. So what does Joshua do? Joshua gets it right this time. And Joshua goes out and he lines all these families up, and man by man, family by family, he goes through until he gets to Achan of the tribe of Judah. And he finds that thing. He tells Achan, he says, don't lie to me. What have you done? Achan tells him, he says, Joshua, in the battle I seen some silver, I seen some gold, and I seen some nice garments, and I took them. And Achan's family is put to death because of his disobedience. But never again will we read of Joshua going to a battle ill-advised. Joshua learned in that moment how important it is that men and women's lives depend on you hearing the voice of God. Your co-worker's salvation is dependent upon you hearing the voice of God. Your children's salvation is dependent upon you hearing the voice of God. Sinners coming through these doors, leaving differently than they came in, are dependent upon the ministry of this church and the people that make up the congregation hearing the voice of God. They need to see something they've never seen before. They need to hear something that they've never heard before. They need to feel something that they've never felt before. At the end of Joshua's days, it says, it come to pass a long time after the Lord had given rest to Israel from all of their enemies, and Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all of Israel and for their elders. In verse 3 he says, and ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations. For the Lord your God is he that fought for you. He goes on down and he tells them, he says, one man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God, it is he that fighteth for you, as he promised you. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. Church, take good heed in yourself that you love the Lord. Take, as Hebrews would tell us, take diligence in making sure that there is nothing in your... I'm not preaching against the accursed thing tonight. I'm preaching for the word of the Lord. I'm preaching that it is imperative for us to hear the word of the Lord. I know that this is a New Testament dispensation that we live in, but I do also know that we have got to hear from the Lord. Joshua had learned to fully trust on God. He knew how quickly he would go on at the end of his days as he would give his last speech to Israel. He would tell them, as God told him, be courageous and don't fear. Joshua had learned, God, everything that I've seen you do in my past, all the times, what happened here is, as that prodigal son knew that he could trust in the character of the Father, Joshua knew that he could trust in the character of the Father. Joshua, if I've called you to win a city, then win a city you will. Joshua, if I've called you to build a building, then build a building you will. But we will not fulfill the purpose of God in our lives without causing a huge mess. Void the voice of God. When my thoughts and my actions get intertwined in what God's doing, it's a mess. When my wants and my desires get intertwined and entangled with what God is really doing, it's a mess. But Psalms, musicians, you can come on back. Psalms chapter 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." God's promise and his blessing have already been spoken over your life. If you're born again, if you're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, his promise is yes and amen in your life. It's already spoken. But stay the course. Do a hard reset on your mind and on your heart and say, "God, when is the last time that I have heard that still small voice?" It could be in reading. It could be in prayer, it could be in praise, it could be in worship, it could be in the silence of your vehicle. When God shows up and begins to speak to your heart and to your mind. And in those moments you find strength and you find clarity and you find direction. And we go from one moment, Pastor, to the next, and one moment to the next. I don't know the valleys and the mountains and the rivers that you'll cross between the times. But we have got to hear the voice of God. There's been a handful of times in my life that I've heard the voice of God so strong that I couldn't function. I'll never forget what God spoke to me in packs in my vehicle, as I almost had to pull off the side of the road because his presence was so strong in that truck. And the reassurance year after year after year that has taken place because faith in what God has already spoken. That time it was about my children. So anytime I ever have some kind of thought about what's going on and making sure, I go back to that word, Jason. And I remember what God spoke a few years ago. And I know, God, I can hold you to your word. One of the hardest days in my life, Tommy, I remember as the Spirit of God would meet me on my knees where I was, not knowing which way to go, not knowing what my life would look like a month from then. But I go back to that place so many times. I don't know where I'd be if it wasn't for the voice of God. I can go back to a motel room in Martinsburg, West Virginia, where God gave me a vision and a dream that changed me for the rest of my life. So there's a few times in my life that I can say it was a powerful time. Oh, but it's day in and day out that we have got to hear and learn to heed that still small voice. What if we replace the man on Route 3 that's out of gas to a lost soul before he meets his maker? And God would have told me, "Sam, go pray for this individual. Sam, go speak a word over this individual." Because it's that same small voice that's so easy, Tom. That's so easy to ignore and so easy to put on the back burner because I've got so much in my life going on right now that I really don't have time for this. It's probably me anyway. No, it's not. No, it's not. Your God speaks to you. The Spirit that lives inside of you calls you to do things for Him. And we have got, as a church and as a body and as individuals and leaders of our family, we have got to give ear to what thus saith the Spirit of the Lord to the church of this day. I know the world's a mess. I know everything's a mess outside. I know you can turn the news on and there's a lot going on right now. But can I tell you, His word's forever settled. Can I tell you that I don't care what comes our way, that those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. Stay the course, church. Seek out earnestly that still small voice. If you can sit there and say, I don't know that I've ever had the voice of God speak to me, ask Him right now, God, speak to me. God, matter of fact, let's pray that right now. Father, I pray in Your name. In the name of Jesus right now, Lord, over every heart and every mind and every family represented in this place, Lord, that You would help us to hear and most importantly, to heed Your voice, oh God. Lord, I pray that greater than any thought and greater than any to-do list in our mind, Lord, I pray that You would help us to earnestly seek after that voice, God. Lord, help us, Lord, to quieten down our soul. And quieten down our mind, Lord, as You speak to us, because You've already spoken it, Lord. And we know that Your word is forever settled, Lord, in heaven. So, Father, right now, Lord, over all my brothers and sisters, Lord, I pray, Holy Ghost, that You move and that You lead and that You guide. Lord, we need You, God, like never before. Lord, we don't want to have another church service without You, God. Lord, we don't want to have another Bible study without You, oh God. We don't want to make another decision void the voice of God. So Holy Ghost, lead us and guide us, Lord, in all truth, in all truth.